Thank you. If I can get this figured out.
Am I on?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming today. It's great to see everyone. Thanks, Howard, for the invitation to preach. This is a great time of year to think about Christianity, obviously, and what it means. As soon as we get the PowerPoint up, you can see that as we think about this time of year, we realize that there's a lot of things about Christianity that just don't make a lot of sense. For instance, have you ever said out loud that I believe in the Trinity? One God in three persons. The math doesn't add up. Or if you are thinking about the resurrection, that we have, as the basis of our faith, of the basis of our life, a man who 2,000 years ago died and was totally dead for 3 days and then came back to life. Saying that in today's sort of science and rationalistic culture is tantamount to insanity. I think it's safe to say that if these things are true, if these things are not true, then we are all incredible fools. We are imbeciles, really. Because, like Paul says, if these things aren't true, we are worse than hopeless. But since these things are true, we have hope and joy today and a hope of glory in the future. What a difference. Specifically this time of year, we get to think about the doctrines of Christianity that have to do with the incarnation. One of those being the dual nature of Christ. The dual nature of Christ is that Christ was 100% God and also 100% man. Again, the math just doesn't add up. That's like saying that this pulpit is 100% hickory and 100% walnut. It just doesn't work. But that's what we believe. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And today we're going to look at a passage that goes into that a little bit. It's going to be Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. I will read it for you. And you can also follow along if you want. So Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Since the children, as he calls them, are people of flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like them and shared their human nature. He did this so that through his death, he might destroy the devil who has the power of death over us. And in this way, he set those who were slaves all their lives because of their fear of death free. For it is clear that it is not angels that he helps. Instead, he helps the descendants of Abraham. This means that he had to become like his people in every way in order to be their faithful and merciful high priest in service of God, so that the people's sins would be forgiven. And now he can help those who are tempted because he himself was tempted and suffered. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for your incarnation. Lord, impress upon us the greatness of who you are and what you've done, and help us to see why it matters in our life and in this day. Amen. So there's a basic point that this passage brings out, and it's super basic, that Jesus became human. That's pretty central to Christianity. We see in verse 14 and verse 17 that Jesus was made like us. That's important because God is spirit. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are spirit. They don't have a body. So in order for Jesus to be a high priest, he had to be made like us. In verse 14, it says that he had to be made like flesh in the image of man with flesh and blood. That doesn't really make sense to us. It shouldn't make sense to us. We have a perfect, infinite Trinity, and one person of that Trinity comes and puts himself into a human body, takes on humanity, and adds it to his nature. This is mysterious. We can't get our minds around this, and we shouldn't be able to get our minds around it. And that's important in how we think about these mysteries and how we think about Christianity, is that if there is a supreme being, a supreme God, we shouldn't be able to understand him. But what I want to encourage you is that far from this being a man-made doctrine, it is in the scriptures. And a person wrote Hebrews, but God is the author of it. And so whenever we say that Jesus is both human and divine, we can say it with surety. We don't have to know how it happened or the details or the what's of it, but we can know that it happened. And I'm not asking you to turn off your minds when you think about God, but Christianity asks you to consider that you are not as big as God. You are not God. In fact, compared to God, you are dust. And he is so great that we can rest in him. And that's the second point of the passage, is that because Jesus came as God and man, because that relationship happened, even though we can't understand it, we can understand why. Because he tells us. He tells us again in verse 14 and verse 17. That should be up on the screen. Back one. Okay, yeah. So let me read verse 14 again. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Or verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus didn't take on a human nature just for fun. He took it on for us. This season, we celebrate the incarnation and the virgin birth and the dual nature of Christ because Satan had the power of death. Now, what is the power of death? It's our sin. Satan accuses us before God because of our sin. And he says that, God, I sinned against you and you judged me. And you need to judge them because they are a sinful people as well. And he's right. Go down the Ten Commandments and you'll find that we haven't worshiped God like we should. We have had angry thoughts against our other people, which Jesus calls murder. We have coveted our neighbor's Christmas lights. But what we see is that whenever we plead the righteousness of Christ, that he lived the perfect righteousness in our place, and he died the death that we deserve, we find that Satan has no grounds anymore, no power over us. So what can we do about this? Well, if you're not a Christian today, then you need to know that your life is still under the power of death. You are still under your sin, and Satan's accusations have real power against you before God. And you need to accept the sacrifice of Christ in your place. If you are a Christian, this passage actually applies this teaching to our lives. Verse 18, it says, And now he can help those who are tempted, because he himself was tempted and suffered. Because Christ bore flesh, because he took on a human nature, He experienced hardship and suffering and hunger and pain and heartache and broken family relationships. He has been there. And now we have a great high priest at the right hand of God, praying for us and pleading for us, sending us his spirit to be a helper to us in times of need. There are a lot of things that we can't understand about Christianity. These are only a few. But the most important one, the one that really should shock and awe us, is that when we were dead, Christ came to save us. When we were sinful, rebellious people, Jesus was born so that he could die in our place. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the work that you've done in coming to earth and in dying in our place. Father, set on our hearts just how immense you are and how great your salvation is. We thank you for all these things. Amen.